Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church this morning. As we prepare to worship, let's join together in our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletins. Good morning and welcome. Very special welcome to those of you that are visiting with us this morning. We hope that you have a very meaningful worship experience with us this morning and will come back to visit us often. If you are a visitor and you're looking for a church home, we hope that you will certainly consider Main Street. And as we pass the attendance pads down the pew, if you would give us your address and phone number, that will allow us to have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of Main Street. It's good to see that so many of you remembered to set your clocks forward this morning and are here with us this morning. If you're just getting here and you thought that you were getting here in time for Sunday school, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but it's good to have you here this morning anyway. If you would now please pass those attendance pads down, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. The Community Lenten Pilgrimage continues this Wednesday. This Wednesday it will be at the Episcopal Church of the Resurrection. Again, the meals are at 12 o'clock noon or at 1 o'clock if you miss the 12 o'clock, and the service is at 12:35. It will be a district men's rally next Sunday from 3 until 5:30 p.m. at St. Mark United Methodist Church. The featured speaker of that will be our own coach, Shell Dula, so we urge as many of you as possible to be present for that. That's next Sunday afternoon from 3 until 5:30. Contact Bob Walters and let him know that you will be attending. The cost is $5 per person. Also, our Wednesday gathering series continues this Wednesday night. Again, you've got a choice of two programs. Reverend Dennis will be continuing a Bible study of the parables within the Bible, and there is a class, a Parenting 101 class, that will also be a second choice. The meal is at 5:15. The program begins at 6:15, and you can make a reservation using the cards in your pew rack. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Please stand and join with me in the call to worship. Incline your ear and come to me. Seek the Lord while he may be found. And God will make an everlasting covenant with you.
Please be seated and join me in our invocation as found in your bulletin. Come near to us, O God. We seek you and call upon you. We need your mercy and pardon. We come thirsty and wait upon you, who gives the living water of life. You are our rock and deliverer. Turn us from every sin. Teach us true repentance, so that we may be neither barren nor unfruitful, but believe in our hearts and confess with our lips your salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I will call your attention to the insert for the baptism of Sanders Elena Maria Rogers. Congregation, please note the insert, and I'll ask the family to please come forward. Adrian and Rhonda, if you'll kind of come around here. Okay, that's good. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. I present today for baptism Sanders Elena Maria Rogers. And now, Rhonda, Adrian, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture Sanders in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? And now, congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include Sanders and her parents now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround Sanders with a company of love and forgiveness, that she may grow in her trust of God and be found faithful in her service to others. We will pray for her, that she may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let us all join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, who will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised.
Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day.
In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations.
Declare his works to the nations, his glory among all the people.
Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and she who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness and throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory.
All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you in the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Okay.
We are going to have a Trinitarian baptism today. Sheila and Paul, grandparents, will be assisting. And now, Sanders, Elena, Maria, I baptize you in the name of the Father.
And of the Son.
And of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as a member of the family of Christ. members of the household of God. I commend Sanders to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church, our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Now the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen. I wish everyone were so excited when they were baptized. Yes. Go ahead. I'll let you two take her. Now, as we come to our prayer time, I'd like to make just a couple of announcements that are not in our concern list. And one is that we have been cooperating very closely with the Salvation Army. Our men's club did, over a period of months, renovate their homeless shelter. The homeless shelter is only open during the winter months, and that is just a few more weeks till the end of March. And they do need volunteers. They do need volunteers to man overnight. Caroline and I are going to be taking one of the nights this week, and we would like you to please let me know personally today if you are willing to take one of the, I think they need Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays, and Mondays. The rest are covered by other churches and by one or two of our members who stay there. The apartment that we helped renovate is very nice. There have never been any problems or safety issues. You just need to be there from about 5:30 till about 8 in the morning, something like that. If you will, consider doing that. Mission work out of your comfort zone, but not out of your own town. You don't need to go anywhere. The Salvation Army homeless shelter is just right over here. And please let me know if you're willing to do that. Also, Alma Kaiser has said that she would like us to pray for her cousin, Ted Pearson, who is in Iraq. His unit was hit by an IED. He is not injured, but many of the others in the unit were injured. And she would ask us to pray for Ted Pearson and his whole unit, who were attacked by a bomb this past week. Mike Williams, we add to our concern, who will have some surgery this coming, a procedure this Wednesday, and their granddaughter will have some surgery tomorrow. Please add them to your prayer list. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we wonder why there is so much violence. So much hatred, so much dishonesty and selfishness in the world. And then we think of sin, an old word, an abrasive word, an accurate word for how we are and what is wrong. And yet we must trust someone. Lord, we trust you. We pray for courage to trust and love one another, even though we know the risk. We pray that you help us grow up into trustworthiness so that others can depend upon us and see your word at work in our lives. Lord, we do pray for the world and what we have made of it. We pray for the leaders of the nations of the world that they be more open to the influence of your Spirit. We pray for each marriage represented here. We pray for the broken relationships and people who are here. We pray for those who struggle with difficult decisions to make. Please grant them wisdom. For those in the middle of financial crisis, please grant them a way out. And for those who have had doors close on their future plans, Lord, we pray that you open new doors and give them the direction they need. Hear now the private prayers of our hearts as we lift them before you in silence. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now it is time for the children's time. I invite them forward. Today it's with me. And as they come forward, I want to add one more prayer concern. Goldie Davis is in the hospital this week, and we will check on her later. I forgot to mention her earlier, Goldie Davis. Wonderful crowd today. I want to tell you a story about one of my favorite. I can't reach that far. I'll put it right there. Okay. I want to tell you a story about one of my favorite cars I ever had. Some of y'all dream about the day you'll get old enough to have a car, don't you? Don't you? Yeah, cars are fine. Well, I had a German Opel Manta 1974 model, my first real car, and it was a wonderful car, but animals hated it. I'll tell you why. Animals hated it. The first week I had it, I was driving one night, and a cow, a big cow, ran right into the side of it and messed up my fender. I'd only had it 1 week, and it was brand new. And that was the first animal that messed with my car. About 2 or 3 months later, a bird, a big male blue jay, saw its reflection in my side mirror. And you know what he did? He attacked it over and over and over again. He scratched my mirror. He beat his head and his beak against my mirror. He knocked the mirror out of alignment. He scratched it so bad, no matter where I parked it, he found my car, he found that mirror, and he messed it up. Until it wasn't even a mirror anymore. It was like a pair of, if you ever had a pair of sunglasses that got so scratched up at the beach you couldn't see through them anymore. Well, that's what my mirror looked like. So I had these animals attacking my car, and I figured there must be something about it. But then I thought about that bird. That bird thought that the problem was outside himself. He thought that all the problems in the world, the only threat he had to deal with, the only enemy he really had, was that image in the mirror. But who was he really fighting with? Well, you're kind of the car, but what? He saw an image of a bird. What was the other bird? It was himself.
Sometimes we blame our teacher for making a bad grade, but is it always the teacher's fault?
No.
Sometimes you don't do your homework, right? If you never read the book, is it the teacher's fault if you make a bad grade? No. And sometimes we blame our parents because they're mad at us just because we don't do anything they say. There's a reason, right? We blame other people for a lot of things, but most of the time, the enemy, like that bird looking in the image in the mirror, the enemy is us or something about us. We do create most of our own problems, but there's something about human beings that wants to blame other people. And I just want you to be aware of that. And when you know it's your fault, it's okay to say, that was my fault. I made a bad grade, and it's not because the teacher hates me. That was my fault, and I'll do better next time. I know you're mad at me, Mom, because I broke the 200-year-old antique vase your great-grandmother gave you. And I'm probably not going to ever be able to replace it, but at least I can be honest and say, it was my fault. It was my fault. It is good to know when the problems that you have are yours and you own them, you move past them, and you try not to repeat them. That's all I wanted to say today. Not to play the blame game so that everything else is everybody else's fault. You don't grow that way. Let's have a prayer. Everybody hold somebody's hand. It doesn't have to be a circle. I can see that it's not going to be a circle. It might be a trapezoid or something, but not a circle. Okay. All right, let's have a prayer. I'll have the prayer, and y'all say amen. Lord, help us be honest as we look at our own lives. Help us be honest when we are truly at fault. And help us trust you to forgive and to give us the ability to grow beyond our faults and to grow closer to the kind of person you would have us be, the kind of person who shows the love and the light that Jesus shows us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Okay. All right, we'll stick this up. Now let us take a moment to pass the peace.
Anybody have any idea what I'm
talking about? Mind
game. Okay, I hope so.
It's good.
I hope so.
A lot of kids don't get that message sometimes. You're a good place for it to come from.
Used to do it.
You have to blame some things on your spouse because you can't blame everything on the government.
That's exactly right. Myra knows that.
Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 9. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you. Because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thought. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 through 13. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters, as some of them did, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain, as some of them did, and they were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you will be able to endure it. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us continue our worship now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. I'd like to share with you God's word from the Gospel of Luke, a somewhat peculiar reading. Hear closely God's word from the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 9. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here.
For 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil? He replied, Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm going to start off with a story that I thought made the point and was somewhat humorous, but sort of skewered everyone's ox this morning. I'm not sure that it worked this morning at 8:28. I hope it works better here. Rudy, you'll be a witness for both. You let me know. A horrible thing happened. A man fell into a pit and couldn't get out. A subjective person came along and said, I feel for you down there. And an objective person came along and said, well, it's logical that someone should fall in that pit. A Christian scientist came along and said, you only think that you're in a pit. The Pharisees said, only bad people fall into pits. A mathematician calculated the odds of falling into the pit. A fundamentalist said, you deserve that pit. A Calvinist said, aren't you glad that's over with? A Wesleyan said, even saved people occasionally fall in pits. A realist said, now that's a pit. A geologist said, while in the pit, notice the beautiful rock strata. An IRS asked him if he was paying taxes on the pit. A Democrat said, we'll create a program to prevent this. A Republican said, pull yourself up and out by your own bootstraps. The county inspector asked him if he had a permit for the pit. A self-pitying person said, that's nothing. You should see my pit. An optimist said, things could be worse. A pessimist said, things will get worse. And then there's Jesus. Jesus, seeing the man in the pit, reaches down and takes him by the hand and brings him up and out of the pit. Now, you've heard the Luke reading just now. And Pontius Pilate had some people from Galilee killed as they were worshiping. Just as they were offering their sacrifice, their own blood was spilled on the altar as they died. And around the same time, a tower of Siloam collapsed and it killed 18 people. And they asked Jesus, were these people more sinful than others? Jesus, were these people deserving of the tragedy they experienced? Jesus, did your Father single them out for punishment? Surely they were somehow to blame. And Jesus said, no. Jesus said, no. Sometimes we overthink things. We overthink a thing and then we miss the obvious point. The gospel reading today illustrates Jesus not allowing the crowd to reframe the argument as, why does God allow bad things to happen? Or more precisely, not allowing the crowd to reframe the argument as, is tragedy evidence of God's punishment? That is theologizing. And that's what the crowd was starting from, but Jesus took them to another place. You may not see it at first, but when you or when anyone says, yep, those worshipers getting killed, or that tower falling down, or that hurricane hitting New Orleans, must be because they were sinners. You may not see it at first, but the mere presumption of that statement or question is that you, standing there presuming, alive and unhurt and not anywhere near, couldn't be anywhere near as bad a sinner as the victims who were punished, you think, by God through tyrant or accident or storm. That attitude, the very pillar of the place that you put yourself upon when you make a statement like that, assumes that, number one, God immediately and violently punishes sinners, and two, you are safely above it all because you have not suffered tragedy, so you must not be that kind of sinner. Rather than overthink and theologize and allow the the people to think themselves holier than victims. Jesus calls them up and out of the pit of sin with a call to repentance, and that is the point of the passage. Were those murdered, or those who died in the tower, or those who die in storms, worse sinners? Jesus clearly says no. God does not work that way. Bad stuff is not a punishment for sin, but don't you be caught off guard. Bad stuff does happen to everyone, and everyone is going to die. Don't get caught without time to turn to God. Repentance is an urgent issue, not because it will prevent death. Nothing will prevent death. Repentance means turning toward God, and is important and always a concern, because you never know when you're going to run out of time. There was a story of a famous rabbi who was walking with his disciples when one of the students asked, "Rabbi, when should a man repent?" And the rabbi calmly replied, "You should be sure to repent on the very last day of your life." And they thought about it, and they said, "But Rabbi, we can never be sure when the very last day of our life will be." Well, the rabbi smiled and said, "The answer to that problem is very simple. Repent now. Repent now." In our reading, Jesus continues to underline his point by telling a story to say how it is that God does work. God does not violently immediately punish sinners. God, our God, revealed in the heart of Jesus Christ, the God who through Jesus said, "Let him who is without sin cast the first stone." God gives sinners second chances. And that includes nurturing and nourishing and helping us by the Holy Spirit grow and produce good spiritual fruit. In short, God does not desire to cut you off before your time, but instead to nourish and strengthen you so you will produce fruit. And you may say, "What fruit?" I hate it when preachers talk about fruit. What are they talking about? Well, let me tell you. The specific traits, the spiritual fruit mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that we are to produce, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. But isn't it so much more fun and more pleasant to think that God punishes bad people and I have not yet been severely punished, so I have not been all that bad? Jesus is saying, no, that is not the way to think. All have sinned and you could be better. Turn back to God and bear fruit. People's lives are short and sometimes end unexpectedly. Turn back now. We do want to blame each other for problems and blame people for our own suffering and sometimes even blame God. But we are in a world where selfishness and sin reign. And no one is superior. No one has a place to stand and look down and judge why tragedy has befallen another. As those of you who are old enough to remember Pogo years ago in the Sunday comics, he said, "We have met the enemy and he is us." We blame others. We blame God. We stand above and theorize who we can blame next to keep the problem outside ourselves. And this is not new. This is not new. When Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the forbidden tree, Adam blamed God. "You gave me this woman. And besides, I really was born yesterday." Eve blamed the snake, and the snake didn't have a leg to stand on. I use that whenever I have an opportunity. I like it. Another story a little closer to home. Blame. We want to push it away from ourselves. Blame. We don't want to accept it. While walking with his son on the beach, a father asked his three-year-old son, "Tim, where do you think all this sand came from?" The little boy had heard this sort of question before. He said, "I don't know, Dad. Don't blame me." My son used to watch the cartoon, The Simpsons, and he used to look, when he was about the same age as the character Bart, when he was caught doing something, he would quote Bart Simpson's litany of denial, and it goes like this: "I didn't do it, nobody saw me do it, you can't prove anything." And oddly, you know, that was just a joke. He used to say it real fast. I didn't do it. Nobody saw me do it. You can't prove anything. Oddly, I have heard pretty much that same litany of denial come through many public figures over the years. I didn't do it. Nobody saw me do it. You can't prove anything. Sin is a pit. We stand above no one. Our own self-worship and arrogance and judgment of others is no one's problem but our own. It is a problem that Jesus would have us free of if we only turn back to God in humility and be willing to have God grow in us a new heart and good fruit of the Spirit. It may mean something quite different than you think, the word repentance. I keep saying repentance. It might not be what you think it is. Too many people believe that repentance means saying, I'm sorry to God. It does not mean saying, I'm sorry to God. Sorry doesn't make it better. Sorry doesn't fix our tendency to do it again and again. Sorry doesn't undo what we have done. What we need to do, and repent does mean this, is have a complete turnaround. A complete turnaround. Instead of following our own desires at every turn, thinking ourselves Lord at every decision and wrangling the truth until it serves our will, repent means to turn our lives around and start back home into God's embrace. Repent means to turn our lives around from serving us and our will and return to God's embrace, where we seek God's will for our lives and for others, and seek the spiritual muscle and courage to live it. A repented life is a life no longer turned in upon itself. It is a life sick of serving one fleeting desire after another, and finally deciding that maybe God, after all, does know best on boundaries and on how to treat others and on how to use money and how to use power and what the world ought to look like and us in it. There is something wrong with the world and everyone in it. Do you doubt that? And we all feel a sense of ought, that it ought to be better than this, that we ought to be better than this. If anyone were sleeping, they are awake now. That we ought to be better than this, happier than this, more connected than this. Jesus storms past the questions of blame, of why bad things happen. And instead, he focuses on the fact that quite a lot of bad things happen all around, and sometimes it's an accident, and sometimes it's political intrigue, and sometimes it's storm or war, and sometimes we just can't find the blame, but we do try. A wise writer once wrote, "We don't have to fix the problem if we can fix the blame." But we do. Jesus wouldn't buy into that. Good, bad, indifferent, we all wander off. We all hurt ourselves and others around us by seeing only ourselves. And we have all gone astray from the ways of God, the love of God, the connection to God that we were made for and often don't have. And so the solution is not to find blame. The solution is to repent, to turn around, the true sense of the word. To turn away from self and back to God who made us, who loves us, and wants us to be happy and in love with others. The book of Ezekiel says that God desires the death of no man, but wants all to turn and live. Wants all to turn and live. You know, I mentioned the Garden of Eden story earlier, and some people have trouble with the Eden story, and they can't really see it as meaningful in today's world, but let me say, brother and sister, and I say this truly, you don't have to believe this story literally because you've lived this story in your life. You have known what was forbidden and you have known that it would bring harm and you have done it anyway. You may deny the literalness of the story, but you can't deny that you've lived it out in your own life. And yet, even though we have intentionally disobeyed God to our own hurt, God is patient with us. And that's where the scripture in this section for today ends. If God sent tragedy to wipe out every sinner on the face of the earth, who would be left? I wouldn't. If God sent tragedy to hurt or kill sinners immediately, would you make the cut? Are you sin free? Or is God giving you another year and another year and another year of nurture to see if perhaps you'll bear fruit as he has desired. There may be times when by any logical measure God should give up on us, but God doesn't deal with logic. There is another chance. The tree gets another year to bear fruit. God gives us another opportunity to repent. Repent means remember, change, and turn away from selfish, sinful habits and grow closer to the image of Jesus Christ. And so God is patient and merciful. But there is still the fact that time is fleeting. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is our Messiah. Our God come to us to lead us home. Repentance is not a grudging duty, but a joyful return into the very arms of God. The arms of God where we have always belonged. The arms of God where we have always belonged. Amen. Please stand.
Charge to keep I have.
Before the benediction, I would like to invite Adrian and Rhonda and Sanders, Elena, Maria, to stand out front with me to be greeted by the congregation. Now receive this blessing, the blessing of the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, of the grace and forgiveness which is yours through your Savior, Jesus Christ, and the comfort and the wisdom which is yours through the ever-present Holy Spirit. You have been blessed, and be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.